T-Mobile and Sprint have merged, and T-Mobile doesn't just have a bigger network, but a better one than ever before, with scam protection built into its core. Introducing Scam Shield, free from T-Mobile. Get fewer scam calls, period. With T-Mobile's supercharged network, you can say goodbye to annoying scam calls.
Narrow as the road. If you actually go into any bookstore in Israel and ask for the New Testament in Hebrew, they're going to look at you as if you...
Just one king and just one crown could rule and reign here till darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray and humbly seek your
No insurance? Aspen Dental has you covered with a free new patient exam and x-rays for relief when you need it most. And with your savings and safety secure, you'll feel all right smiling again. We promise. Book now at Aspen.
Hello, how's everybody doing? And the crowd was silent. I'm going to do one thing real quick. I'm behind today. I've been trying to get ready for men's retreat or men's camp out, and I've been trying to get what I normally do for the next 3 days, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I tried to do all in today, and so I'm running behind. So let me do one thing real quick. And for those of you that are watching, hang on with me because I'm going to send out a link by text. No, my phone is dying, though. I'm almost done. Boy, it takes forever to type on a phone. Anybody else have that issue? Hey, at least y'all seeing the real me, right? I mean, this is me. Scatterbrain me. But anyway, just want to we'll send out a text. Yeah. Boy, look at that. Gotta love technology. Preview and confirm. Send message. All right. So everybody should be getting the link here in a minute. But okay, I'm done with that. Where was I? Here we are. Okay, so thank you for joining us this week. Let me just give you a couple announcements, and then we are going to get into our series. We're starting a new series today on the book of Micah, and I'm going to tell you right now, from the beginning, at the beginning, the book of Micah is not the most uplifting book you'll find. Okay, I'm just telling you, a lot of those minor prophets aren't necessarily uplifting because, I mean, they're just telling it how it is because they're speaking from God. God's mad, to put it nicely. He's just had enough with the Israelites and them not acting right, these horrible kings that have been around. We're gonna talk about that, get started on that here in a minute. For those of you that may be wondering what chapters we're gonna be on Micah 1 and 2 tonight. I believe there's 7 chapters in the book of Micah, and we're gonna cover all 7 chapters in 5 weeks. So this will be a 5-part series. And so we're going to cover the first 2 chapters tonight. They're both kind of short. They're not very long. So we'll get into that. Before that, I got a couple announcements. Announcement 1 is men's camp out. I am ready for this. And we're going to Daniel Falls. The cost is, we're asking if you can to give $15. It's one of those that's going to help us with our food needs. We've bought a lot of food. Let me tell you how I'm going to tell them myself. So we go shopping yesterday to get the food, and we get what we think is all the food until I get home and I realize we don't have the hamburgers and hot dogs. You know, 2 of the most important food items we didn't get, you know. And so anyway, so there I totaled myself. I don't know where my brain was yesterday. But I had to go back today and get the hamburgers and hot dogs. So good news is we have hamburgers and hot dogs. We're going to have some pork steaks, and we'll have lunch meat and stuff for lunch, and then we'll have lots of good breakfast. We got lots of snacks. Food pantry has been nice to us lately, and we've got lots of snacks back there. So we're going to have lots of snacks at men's retreat. And so I say all that to say this: if money is an issue, don't worry about the money. Just come to men's camp out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. We'll find a place for you. I know some of you are coming on 1 or 2 day or 1 day and maybe not the other. Some are coming for a different time period, but not the other time. And that's fine. We just want you to come hang out with us, have a great time. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. We're going to have all kinds. I got a couple of cornhole games that we can play out there. We're going to have a 4-wheeler out there and side-by-side. So we'll have fishing. You can do all kinds of stuff. If you do go fishing, you do have to have your license, all that good stuff. So it's going to be a great time. And then this Sunday is the tailgate party after service, and it's going to be on the parking lot back here. And so you don't want to miss this Sunday. I just finished up the message for Sunday, and I am excited about this message. I believe it's a word from God, and so I will be preaching this Sunday, and then as soon as the service is over, we're going to go out on the parking lot, and we're going to have hot dogs and chips and drinks. It'll be out there. It's going to be already packaged and everything. All you got to do is just take it. We're using all the best measures that we can use to feed everybody, and you know, wear your mask, social distance. We're going to do all that, but we're going to have fun. We're going to fellowship with one another. We're going to have a good time. So that's the plans for this weekend. Got a busy weekend. It's an exciting weekend. Oh, one more thing I want to tell you about. So this Sunday ends the series that we've been doing called Get in the Game. The following Sunday, October 4th, I'll be doing a new series called Ghost Stories, and it's on the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be a great series. Getting to know who the Holy Spirit is. You know, what is Pentecost? These are some things that we're going to talk about. What is praying in tongues? And we're going to talk about these things, you know, and so that series will start the first Sunday in October, and I believe that's October 4th. So, enough with the announcements. Let's get into our series today. This is a new series that we're starting on Wednesday nights, and we're in the book of Micah, and I'm going to be doing Micah chapter 1 and 2 tonight. But this is, like I said, it's a five-part series. And the book of Micah, it's found in the Old Testament after the book of Jonah. So when you're flipping through your pages, if you're at home or you're here and you want to look it up in the Bible, we do have the slides for you of the text. But you'll go past all the big books, what I call the big books. You know, like Psalms is a big book. There's 150 chapters in Psalms. Then you go past Isaiah is a big book, Jeremiah is a big book, Ezekiel is a big book, and you'll go past all those until you get to those little bitty books. You know, we did Daniel. We finished up Daniel last week, and Daniel kind of starts the little books, is what I call them, little books, because that just means they're shorter. They have less chapters than the big books. So they're known as the minor prophets, and so just keep going until you get to Jonah, and then Micah is the next book after Jonah. And there's only seven chapters there. And so let me encourage you to do this. Take your time and read through the book of Micah. There's only seven chapters, and you may have to read it through two or three times while we're doing this series. That's okay, because there are a lot of names in there, because he's talking about a lot of, you know, cities, territories, whatever you want to call them. So, you know, just kind of read through it and get the meat of it. If you have to, look it up in different translations. Maybe pull out the Message and read it. Maybe pull out the New Living Translation and read it. Or the one now? It's the Contemporary English Version. Isn't that a new one? You know, pull out different versions and read. Since it's a short book, pull them out and just read through it several times throughout while we're doing this study. But I believe that this is going to enhance your study that you do on your own as we go through the book of Micah. So here we go. Micah wrote this book to warn his nation. Had to switch something out here. He wrote his book to warn his nation of the certainty of God's judgment. He exposed the specific defenses that made God angry, and he summarized God's prophetic message to Samaria in the north and Jerusalem in the south. He also predicted Israel's downfall before it happened in 722 BC, And he prophesied that a similar destruction would happen to Judah and Jerusalem because of the ever-rising presence of sin among the people. So let me just say, if you're thinking, well, what do you mean? Okay, so the nation of Israel at this point, at this time, was divided into two groups, two nations. Okay, you had the nation of Judah, and then you had the nation of Israel. And so they each had a capital city. Israel's was Samaria, and Judah's was Jerusalem. They had two different kings. They were divided and they were split. So here Micah is getting ready. He's prophesying to them and telling them about their upcoming destruction. So here is a thought that I want you to think about as we go through Micah. Okay? Here's the thought. God expects believers to care deeply for one another and for the world around them. When we fail to do so, he will correct us. In the end, his plan will be accomplished with or without us. Can I say that one more time? God expects believers to care deeply for one another and for the world around them. And when we fail to do so, he will correct us. In the end, his plan will be accomplished with or without us. So here we go. We're going to read Micah chapter 1, and I'll give you some commentary as we go through this, and we'll also read chapter 2. So Micah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Phoresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the vision he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Again, Samaria was the capital of Israel and Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. Both were spiritually rebellious nations that for the most part had abandoned their faith in God. And it was because of this, the Lord was coming to bring his judgment on these rebellious and wayward nations. Now let's look at what Micah prophesies beginning at verse 2. Here it is. "Hear, you peoples, all of you, listen, earth, and all who live in it, that the sovereign Lord may bear witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads on the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him and the valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. All this is because of Jacob's transgression, because of the sins of the people of Israel. What is Jacob's transgression? Is it not Samaria? What is Judah's high place? Is it not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour her stones into the valley and lay bare her foundations." You see, the prophecy here in verse 6 was fulfilled in 722 BC when the Assyrians completely destroyed the city and they carried away all the wealth gained through ungodliness. Now, this defeat happened soon after Micah prophesied that it would come. So here he was, he's prophesying, he's saying, this is what's going to happen. And then sure enough, not too long after he said it, it happened. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "All her idols will be broken to pieces, all her temple gifts will be burned with fire. I will destroy all her images. Since she gathered her gifts from the wages of prostitutes, as the wages of prostitutes, they will again be used. Because of this, I will weep and wail. I will go about barefoot and naked. I will howl like a jackal and moan like an owl. For Samaria's plague is incurable. It has spread to Judah. It has reached the very gate of my people, even to Jerusalem itself." So, As we're reading this, I don't know if you can, but I can hear the grief in Micah's words over Samaria's fall. I mean, he's heartbroken here. And this marked the collapse of Judah's sister nation, Israel. Micah is heartbroken that they had rejected God and had to suffer the consequences. Now, as believers, we should always experience a sense of sorrow when people continue to rebel against God and continue on the path to their destruction. You see, Judah, it was just as guilty as Israel in breaking God's laws and rebelling against him. They had no reason to feel relieved or secure simply because they had not received judgment at the same time. In fact, Micah called on certain towns in Judah to mourn in advance for the destruction that was about to come on them. I mean, he's pleading. He's telling, you know, he's like, it's almost like he's saying, you had a chance, you know. There was hope, and you blew it all, you know. You brought this on yourself. So here, let's look at verse 10 now. It says, tell it not in Gath, weep not at all. In Beth Ophrah, roll in the dust. Pass by naked and in shame. You who live in Shephir, those who live in Zanan will not come out. Beth Ezel is in mourning. It no longer protects you. Those who live in Maroth, writhe in pain, waiting for relief, because disaster has come from the Lord, even to the gate of Jerusalem. You who live in Lachish, harness fast horses to the chariot. You are where the sin of daughter Zion began, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Therefore you will give parting gifts to Moresheth Gath. The town of Akzib will prove deceptive to the kings of Israel. I will bring a conqueror against you who live in Mershah. The nobles of Israel will flee to Adullam. Shave your head in mourning for the children in whom you delight. Make yourself as bald as the vulture, for they will go from you into exile. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the Old Testament makes several references to shaving your head. Have you ever noticed that? Every time that they're in mourning or something, that's what this was. That was an outward sign of sorrow. So Micah was warning the people to expect a time of great grief over the coming tragedy. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, shave your head. It's a sorrowful time. This is going to be bad. Look at chapter 2. He says, woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes. They rob them of their inheritance. Therefore, the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. In that day, people will ridicule you. They will taunt you with this mournful song. We are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. He takes it from me. He assigns our fields to traitors. Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. So here, Micah is pronouncing doom and misery on the people who are using their power and influence to take advantage of others in order to reach their own selfish aims. And these were wealthy landowners. They either bought or, believe this, they stole farms and houses. And here's the thing, they did not hesitate to cheat and deceive others in order to gain more property. They were very greedy. They were so consumed with greed that they did not care about the suffering that they caused others. And God had a plan for them. They would be treated just as they had treated others. God would send Assyria to take their land away and carry them into captivity. And let me just say this. We must be careful not to become greedy and mistreat others, especially in an effort to get more money or possessions. There's truth to that. It's important that we as believers do not become greedy. Now, moving on, it says, do not prophesy, their prophets say. Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. You descendants of Jacob, should it be said, does the Lord become impatient? Does he do such things? Do not my words do good to the one whose ways are upright? Lately my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care, like men returning from battle. You drive the women of my people from their pleasant homes. You take away my blessing from their children forever. Get up, go away, for this is not your resting place, because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond all remedy. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, that would be just the prophet for this people. So here we have Judah's false prophets were criticizing Micah for bringing a message of judgment. See, they rejected this prophecy of gloom and doom. I mean, do any of us really truly like the message of gloom and doom? I don't. Is anybody, and you can comment on online if this is you, you know, do you like bad news? Anybody? None of us like, I don't think any of us like bad news. I mean, we don't just sit around looking at one another saying, you know, I hope I get some bad news today. Man, I hope somebody ran over my dog today or something, you know. I mean, none of us just sit around just waiting on bad news, you know. We don't enjoy that. And these prophets, or so-called prophets, false prophets, they're criticizing Micah for bringing a message of judgment. I mean, they did not like this prophecy that he was bringing. They insisted that God's people would never suffer shame and disgrace because God was a God of love and forgiveness and not anger. Well, sure he is. He is a God of love and not anger. But they had brought this upon themselves. And you see, their optimistic message, it gave the people, the prophet's optimistic message, gave the people a false sense of security and allowed them to continue neglecting God's laws and standards. So here Micah was, he's mocking the people by saying anyone could gain a following if they promised prosperity and plenty of intoxicating drink for everyone who wanted. I mean, think about it. I could probably go out there today and say, hey, if you'll come listen to my message, you know, if you'll come listen to the words I'm telling you, I'm going to give you, you know, all that you want. You'll have plenty of prosperity. You're going to have lots of money. You'll have plenty of alcohol to drink. I mean, you can just live it up. You can party if you'll just come listen to my message. I mean, that's basically what these prophets were doing. And Micah, he's making fun of them. He's saying, well, of course, anybody can get a crowd if they claim, you know, here's all the beer and wine you can have and have all the money you want. I mean, anybody can draw a crowd. And his words, when Micah is speaking these words, he's meant to cut through their foolish thinking. He's trying to change their mind here. He's trying to get them to think about what they're saying and how bunch of baloney it is. But sometimes the church today, believe it or not, gets caught up with the positive message of God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness that it ignores his righteous standards and expectation for holiness. You know, there are still pastors that refuse to warn God's people about the consequences. I mean, they just will refuse to warn them about these consequences of adopting the ungodly social customs of the society in which they live. Now, look at the final two verses of chapter 2, okay? Here it is. I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. So here, Micah is giving them just a glimpse of hope. He announces that God will spare a remnant, a small portion of faithful people from Israel and Judah, who will return to the promised land following their time in exile. In other words, they're going to have to go through exile, but he's letting them know, hey, God is going to allow a small remnant of people to come back. So there is that glimmer of hope that even though they know we've got to go through all this stuff, and I think last week, last series, we were talking on Daniel. We know that that time of exile was, 70 years? And that what I think we were had read? It was around 70 years. And so that they were in exile. And so after they come out, there would be a small... Now, a lot of these people would not be the ones that come back because they're probably not going to live through this exile. You know, because they haven't even gone into exile yet. Micah is just telling them that you're about to go into exile. But he's promising them that God is going to bring a remnant of people to come back and to go about their daily business. Now, Micah's prophecy is that judgment is coming against Israel's king cities, the main city. Israel's capital cities, Samaria and Jerusalem, they've committed serious transgressions against God. I mean, these cities represent the capitals of Israel's two kingdoms. The kingdoms were the way in which God was known to the world. However, Thomas McComiskey says, in particular, he singled out Jerusalem not only because of the corruption of its leaders, but also because of its future glory. You know, Jerusalem is the holy city. You know, we know that that's where all of the activity that during Christ coming to the earth is going to take place. It's going to take place in Jerusalem. And so here it is. This is being prophesied before this. And then the Hebrew people were being led by people whose motives were not acceptable to God. Their leaders, these kings were just, they were evil. I mean, they were awful. Awful kings, especially there at the end, they became very poor rulers. The religious leaders, these prophets that we were talking about, man, they allowed various religions to be syncretized with Judaism, and the result was leading people astray. So you had these false gods that were coming in and corrupting the people. Followers of God, they're called to genuinely care for others, and God will determine if they have fulfilled that responsibility. It's important that we learn to care for other people. And that just wasn't happening during this time. So think about this. You know, with all the distractions that you and I face in life, it can be difficult to see what's really important, right? I mean, sometimes our vision gets blurred. We have a lot of things going on. And a lot of times we get distracted. We get all these outside influences that affect our life. And we tend to sometimes ignore the hard things about life. Well, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. You ever thought that? You know, I've got this problem here, and if I just ignore it, it'll go away. How many times do we have an ailment in our body, and we know that we need to go to the doctor, and if we go to the doctor, he'll be able to take care of it. But in our minds, we just think, well, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. You know, or if you have a simple little headache, something that's not a major headache, just a simple little headache, you know that if you go take Tylenol, that headache will go away. And how many times do we just say, well, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. So in Micah, the leaders were ignoring their responsibility to care for the people of Israel. They needed to see and hear the world around them. And you know, Micah, he promises them during this time, in these first few chapters, he promises that God's judgment will be personal. And those people in charge of the nation, both the political leaders and the religious leaders, they're going to be held accountable based on the way that they had led. You know, and this speaks to God's way of dealing with disobedience. His punishment isn't random or fickle. It's calculated and intentional. And it would do us well to remember that the way we treat people will eventually be the way that we are treated. Now, perhaps this is the key to Jesus' teaching in the Beatitudes. Jesus expects his followers to live differently in the world so that the kingdom of God can truly be realized. The failure of Israel's leaders to treat people with dignity, it left the entire nation in state of desolation. And Jesus's later command to love people in ways that will preserve their dignity points back to the same expectations that God had for Israel centuries earlier. Here's the thing to remember. God's plan never changed. God's plan from the very beginning has always been the same. He created us to what? To worship Him. That's why we were created. We were created to worship God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, that's when sin came into the earth, came into the world. And that sin is what separated us from God. Now, back then in the Old Testament, they had to make sacrifices. But if you read all throughout the Old Testament, I mean, God's already started over once before this. Remember Noah? He destroyed all of them. He said, I can't even look at them. You know, I don't have anything to do with these people. So he destroyed them. And so now here, he starts over, and, you know, he had Moses as leader. I mean, Joshua came, and all of a sudden people wanted kings. Well, these kings just blew it. After David, and even Solomon had his good moments. But after that, I mean, they just pretty much went downhill. There was a few good kings in there, but for the most part, they were just bad dudes. And so it came to this moment, and this is when Micah is saying, look, you failed God. You know, you have sinned against God. And so I want us to understand that we as believers, God takes our responsibilities seriously. And, you know, when we fail to follow through, you know what he does? He promises justice. So perhaps the most exciting promise of Micah is that even though destruction is guaranteed, it comes with a promise of renewal. Remember what I read to you in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2. Israel can hope and trust in God's provision, his promise to grant them a new hope even as he pronounces judgment. Is a reminder that God always has a plan that points to redemption. Isn't that great? He always has a plan. The God of the Scriptures always leaves a remnant to carry on toward his final goal. So that's the message of today. It's where we're at here in. So we hear Micah is telling the people, destruction's coming. It's going to be bad. It's going to be personable or personal. You made God mad is what he's telling them. God's mad. He's not happy. And so because of your sin, because of what you did, God is going to bring punishment. And so we know that it's fixing to happen. We know that because we've read, we know that Micah's prophecies here in chapters 1 and 2 are going to come to fruition. And but he gives that promise that there is redemption after this. There is something good that is going to happen. So, do you have any questions tonight? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, let's pray. God, I just thank you for this word that you've given us. And let us know that what your word speaks, that here we are in Micah and understanding what the people were faced with, what they were going through, what was happening. And so, God, my prayer tonight is that we as believers will be faithful to your word and what you've spoken to us, what you're saying to us, what we need to know and understand. And so, God, I pray that there's anybody that's listening, God, that does not understand, that does not know, that's not listening, that's not understanding, God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, God. Help them to understand that you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a desire for them to do your work. And I pray that they would step out and follow it, and that they would pray for other believers, pray for those that don't believe yet, but they can show compassion for a world that's hurting, for a world that's lost, and that they will love those people, love what we consider maybe the unlovable. And so, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close the online session right now. If you're online and you have a prayer need that you would like for us to pray with you about, you can send that prayer need to us by text message at 479-888-7331. And we're going to pray for you right now if you'll send us your prayer requests by text. If you'd like to continue your study on this subject, there are questions in the description below that will help you with that. Also, don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell. So, y'all have a wonderful good night. We're going to pray. And so, we'll see y'all this Sunday at 10:30. Have a good night. All right. It's getting warm in here. I haven't set the timers yet. William's happy. Does anybody here have any prayer needs that we need to pray for tonight? I haven't received any yet, so. Oh, Jim's doing good. He is going to, he's going to men's camp out. And, You raised your hand. I didn't know. Okay. He is going to men's camp out. It's the same problem that he had before when he got his stent. And so it's just sometimes this thing reoccurs, I guess, every once in a while. And so he just kind of had a little episode. So he's fine. He says, I'm ready to go. He said, I'm excited. So he'll be there. And So whether it was anything else, I'm just going to believe that God touched his body. And sometimes God does things to get our attention, to get us to slow down. So I don't know. Any other prayer? You got a prayer need? I have no idea.